four last names. With those four last names.
Yeah, four last names. They all the Mac joined, like Howard Kwan, he's Kwan, and the Lu, the Kwan and the Jiang and the Chu.
Yeah. And the Lu.
Yeah, and the Lu. So
when did you join this? Oh well, I mean, before 63, when did you become active?
I would say in 1948, I was beginning active with the Film Association.
Prior to 48 and prior to you joining the Navy, did you ever participate in any of these associations?
No, because I was too young then. See?
I see. Did your father join?
Yes, my father was the president of the Four Family Association.
Of this one?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when was he the president, do you remember?
1948.
Do you remember him telling you anything about what goes on there, or did he ever take you to the meetings?
Well,
prior to World War II?
Prior to World War II, no. But after World War II, then I become interested in it. And since then, I was running they called the Teenage Committee, which I started with the Teenage Committee, then on into the Federation of Young People Committee, and naturally then I become person myself.
And how, in the meantime, what were you doing all this time from the time you returned from the Navy in 46? Did you start your own business?
Well, when I came back 46, I went to City College, make up the so-called deficiency unit.
Then you went to USC.
So then in 48, I went to University of Southern California.
I see. After 51, did you work?
Oh yes, I worked awful hard. In fact, during the school year, I worked as a waiter, dishwasher, to just try to put me through school. Because
your father couldn't put you through school?
No, he could very well put me through school if I wanted to, but me being a man of independent, I didn't want any of his help. I feel I want to put myself through school, through the GI Bill.
I see. Going back to the various associations, how much money did you each have to pay to be a member of Logan?
Well, every family association different. In other words, this one is only $4 to a year. Mm-hmm. It's a really very nominal.
And that is the same rate that was being charged before the war?
Yeah.
Also. Okay.
Actually, even now they're still $4 a year because mostly donation they are looking for, not the due itself.
I see. How about the Benevolent Association? How much do they charge?
Well, the Benevolent Association, lately they charge. See, they're a little bit different. Not everybody can join the Benevolent Association. I have to explain. See, the Benevolent Association make out of 28 family like now. Chinese different family association. Each family association can send the maximum of 4 delegates. Some only can qualify for 1 or 2 or 4. Now you're based on 50 member per each delegate. In other words, you have to have 200 membership
in the family.
In the family.
To qualify for four delegates.
Mm-hmm. Like now, only a few, the one family association and four family association.
Four family,
Long Kong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Association and the Li Family Association and some other two more qualify for four.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah. Some of them, the total had, I think like now, they had 58 delegates.
Mm-hmm. And each delegate pays a fee?
Each delegate pay $100 a year.
Uh-huh. Are the delegates elected?
Elected by their own family associations.
Right.
You see.
And what do they do? What do these delegates do?
Well, they discuss their, take care of the Chinese affair in the town, for instance, like the Chinese school, the Chinese cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and recently, they play a little politics, and they do mostly charity service to the Chinese community. For instance, we fight for the Chinese right, like the Chinese Service Center. We
mm-hmm.
want to see and fight for that, and which had like now we have the Chinese Service Center,
mm-hmm.
and then we will fight for the Chinese urban renewal development, which you heard about, a fund they approved for $75 million redevelopment in Chinatown. Now that's one of the few things the Chinese Consolidated Association has done.
Mm-hmm.
The simple reason I joined that because I feel in the old day that the Chinese Consolidated Association have not done that for the Chinese people based on the American Chinese in the city, the American mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And they always close to their own self.
You think the benevolent association over in the 60s and 70s and the 50s is different from the way it was before, I'm saying, like before World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any information as to what it was like before World War II?
Well, of course, before World War II, the Minerva Association don't have much a chance to say in American politics anyway.
But now it does.
Yeah. Now it getting better and better all the time. Of course, the Chinese people also educated
mm-hmm.
more now,
right.
Not like before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You see.
And at that time, besides the four family association,
mm-hmm.
Were there and plus other family associations?
Mm-hmm.
Did you join any other organization before World War II?
No.
How about afterwards?
Afterwards, yes. Like I belong to the Lions Club in American way. I belong to the Mason.
Mm-hmm.
I also belong to the Optimist Club.
Right. Yes, you are.
I belong to the International Footprinter Association.
Footprinter,
that's a law enforcement group.
Footprinter?
Yeah,
hmm.
International Footprinter.
I see.
And then I joined the Bing Gong Tong, not a service organization.
Okay.
And I also become president of that Tong after 3 years I was joined.
Do you know how to write that?
Huh? Bing Gong Tong.
Yeah. So you joined quite a few organizations. Bing Gong Tong.
Yes.
What is the Bing Gong Tong anyway?
Well, Bing Gong Tong is the Chinese Freemason.
Oh.
Yeah. which
is
in
that?
The, huh?
What's that?
You know the Serrano, the red coat with the fez? The American Mason, Serrano people? The one who do the Serrano football game for the crippled children?
No, I'm not familiar.
You're not familiar?
With that. In fact, I'm not even sure what the Mason Club is about.
Well, the Mason is an organization just like a Lions Club.
Mm.
It's a service organization. It's the throughout the world. It's a big, big organization. And they mainly do the surrender, the senior football game.
Mm-hmm.
Serrano?
Mm-hmm.
Serrano. Well.
And you did not join any kind of social organizations of any kind before World War II?
No. I don't. The time in those days to join to all those things because that's mainly I would concentrate in schooling.
Mm-hmm. When you were in school, what kinds of activities did you participate in?
Really, it's not too much activity I join. I do in school for mainly reason I have to work after school.
Mm.
So,
you have to work doing what? In the school?
I mean after school.
After school.
Yeah, after school I worked as a busboy or dishwasher.
That was before, I mean I'm talking about from your junior high to high school
yes,
days.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You had to or you wanted to?
I don't have to, but I wanted to because I wanted to be independent.
Mm-hmm. I see. And did you notice who were the most important Chinese families in L.A. before World War II?
Well, I would say, I guess, there's many prominent families, so-called, in Los Angeles in those days. There's like the Sam Watt Company, Mr. G. Tao, after Sam Watt, after G family, with the being the person of the China Benevolent Association
uh-huh.
in those days, and the Wu family met the Wilbert Wu's father,
uh-huh.
also a prominent family.
Uh-huh.
And of course you got the Louis family, which met the then Louis family, which in the farm, city market, produce business. And of course, quite a few Wong family also is well family
mm-hmm.
in Chinatown.
Now, you said someone
your,
in the G family owned the Sam Ward Company?
Yeah.
What's his name? The person?
G. Tao.
G.
That's
Tao,
Mr. Sam Ward.
Mr. Sam Ward?
Yeah, well, his American name is Sam Wan. Of course, his Chinese name is Ji Wan.
I see.
You see.
And the Wong family.
Of course, like now, owned by Mr. Bob Ji now, his son.
Uh-huh.
And he is the person of the Chinese Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
How about individuals? Any single person which you consider prominent before World War II?
Oh yes, that's a lot of them. Mr. Y.C. Hong, which is a real famous attorney
uh-huh.
in Los Angeles, famous before World War II.
Uh-huh.
And evidently, he was the first Chinese attorney admitted to a state bar in state of California, I understand.
Uh-huh.
Then you had Judge Delbert Wong's father,
uh-huh.
Wong Gong Hon.
Gilbert Wong's father.
Yeah.
Who
is also a real prominent citizen in
what did he do?
Well, I understand he's a grocery business. Then, of course, you had the Peter Su Hu, the Su Hu family, the one who started New Chinatown. It's also real prominent Chinese.
Was Peter Su Hu very prominent?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, in those days.
What did he do?
It's not what he do, it's what he done for the Chinese community.
Yeah, well, what has he done for the Chinese community?
Well, he built the new Chinatown for the Chinese. When before the old Chinatown, when I was here, it was the Union Station.
Right.
Now, then, when the Union Station did take over Chinatown, the Chinese people didn't know where to go. So Mr. Peter Su Hu and Mr. Wai Shi Hong, a few group of prominent Chinese got together and put in the present site of Chinatown. I understand it used to be the Italian cemetery. There.
Italian cemetery. Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Which is nobody won.
Oh.
Of course.
They built right over the cemetery?
I guess so. And it was real cheap, and that's all the Chinese can afford in those days.
And you can't think, there's no other individuals before World War II. How about any, were there any women that were prominent before World War II?
Very little. Of course, I'm sure they have. But in those days, you know, the Chinese culture, the woman always stand in the background. I'm sure there is a lot of prominent women.
What kind of jobs were most Chinese engaged in before World War II?
Well, I would say mostly in laundry and restaurant business before World War II.
You're talking about them as owners?
Yeah.
About workers, paid workers?
Same. Because most of the Chinese, they couldn't afford to own, they work for a Chinese who owns a laundry or a restaurant. But a lot of them, they are going to partnership, you know, too.
Were there any jobs which were considered totally Chinese or totally restricted from Chinese?
I wouldn't say there is a job totally Chinese, but certainly before World War II, there's a lot of jobs they wouldn't allow the Chinese to, for instance, like civil service or in law enforcement or in big American company.
That was that written in the law or was
no,
it?
No, I wouldn't say that's written in the law. I would say they just purely in those days you could call it prejudice or what.
And what was the average income before the war?
Well, before World War II, I would say the average income ran around $120 to $150 a month for the Chinese.
How much would, say, a two-bedroom apartment cost at that time?
I don't know what the average, but for the one I know around Chinatown in those days, they talk about $25 a month. Could to maximum $50 at most.
For a two-bedroom?
Yeah.
Furnished apartment?
For a house, no.
Or
not
for
furnished.
House.
This is the end of tape 1, side A. Jimmy D. Jung.